LA has the potential from a technology, innovation, creativity, new business creation standpoint to be the leading city in the planet.
I'm Alex Blumberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
My name is Esprit Devora, born and raised LA, and I created We Are LA Tech in 2012 to unify the community. Podcast launched in 2014, continuing to help people find the best talent to connect with each other to form awesome relationships. So proud of this show. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Dave Whalen, Rebel 360 by day, Bespoke Strategy by night. I've been listening to We Are LA Tech pretty much from the beginning. I love the incredible range of guests and how Esprit makes such personal connections with them. I learn about business, LA, and myself with each episode. You can connect with me everywhere at DJ Whalen. That's DJWHELAN.
Join thousands of people in LA Tech on our We Are LA Tech Facebook group, where you can discover events, job opportunities, and even housing. Go to wearelatech.com/community. We'll take you straight there. That's wearelatech.com/community.
Hey, today's personal spot, as I am legit in bed playing hooky from life for the morning. I just wanted to share a little bit about curiosity. We had a team call yesterday and I had a huge oversight on the team call. And a large contributor is because I didn't complete the process of curiosity. It's something that I learned in therapy a while ago. And I know that that word sounds really elementary, like, okay, you learned curiosity in therapy. But it's true that it enhances communication and understanding of others if we lead and default to being curious first rather than making assumptions or judging or thinking we can assess a situation without actually being curious about all the different pieces of a situation first. And so if there's a misunderstanding or something frustrating or anything of that nature, instead of just jumping to a conclusion, what I like to do and what I do my best to do, and I definitely failed this particular week, is to be curious, to really ask a lot of questions and to genuinely be curious about the situation and about what led up to the outcome of the situation before I start to make any, you know, judgments or actions in consequence of the outcome of the situation. So I hope that helps a little bit. I think curiosity is a really powerful thing, and it's something that I look forward to getting better and better at. Sorry for my raspy voice. This is what I sound like in the mornings when I'm just lazily being in bed, I'm actually not trying to get out of bed yet. I'm trying to squeeze out to the last second, but I am creating this personal spot for you. All right, enjoy the next episode.
Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast featuring LA Tech companies and talent. So excited for our next guest, an amazing, amazing community member here in LA, Rob Ryan. Hello.
What's up, Esprit? I love the energy already.
Thank you. Rob, where in LA are you based?
I am in Koreatown right now. What are we in? Central LA.
All the food. What's your favorite restaurant in Koreatown?
Probably CBD House, like two blocks from here, which is one of the ultimate Korean barbecue places.
Wait, but like, did you say CBD House?
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Is it that CBD first, as in CBD?
No.
Okay.
It like stands for something.
Go ahead to kick things off. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Esprit. It's awesome to be here talking about LA and tech today. So I'm Rob Ryan. I'm the founder of Growth Hacks. We are a consultancy that's based here in Los Angeles, but focused in Latin America. And we actually do very complicated things very easily. We help people and organizations to build entrepreneurial economies and to then bridge those entrepreneurial economies between Los Angeles, California, the US, and other cities or countries in Latin America and vice versa. So we help Latin American companies, investors, entrepreneurs, governments, NGOs to come and establish themselves in the U.S. And we help U.S. interested entrepreneurs, investors, ecosystem builders to build or expand themselves to Latin America. We've been doing this for about 5 years. It's myself and a small team of people, including my business partner, David, who's down in Baja in Tijuana, a small team of people in Latin America. And it's incredible fun, incredible challenges, and immense opportunities because of what the future is going to look like in both Los Angeles as well as in Latin America.
Before we get into LA specific, what inspired you to create Growth Hacks?
Ooh, great story.
And it's H-A-X,
just in case. So it's growth, the word, G-R-O-W-T-H, and then an extra H, A-X.com.
How very startup tech of you.
So you want, if you've got a minute, I'll give you the 1 minute version of that story.
Yeah. Right?
So it actually has nothing to do with growth hacking, which is what most people mistake it for, like digital marketing, metrics, all that. Right. Nothing to do with that. In fact, it's a play on my original mentor was my father. And he trained me in business in how to build professional relationships.
Yeah.
Okay. He trained me how to be a sales guy.
Yeah.
And there's a phrase in old times, because I'm an old guy, 52 years old. There's a phrase from way, way back when, from people like my dad, that when you were really good at something, albeit golf out on a course or just in life, you were an old hack.
Yeah.
Like you were an old hack.
Oh, I remember that.
Like you were an old, like the newspaper man was an old hack. The golfer was an old hack. Like, so you were good at something. You were an old hack. So I knew that our business was going to be about mentorship of entrepreneurs. So it was going to be about helping people, business people, grow themselves and their businesses. But then as an homage, as a tribute to my father, who had passed away when I was in my late 30s, I was like, let's call it Growth Hacks. Like as a tip of the cap to him. So I went, here's the techie story. I went online because, you know, when we have great ideas, we all go online and look for the domain.
Totally.
Name. Right. And I looked for growth hacks, HACKS.com.
Right.
Of course it was taken. This is like 2015. Of course it was taken, right? By some digital marketing agency.
Yeah.
So then I thought, like, oh man, how can I come up with a million variations? I didn't like any of them. And then I happened to be reading the book at the time from Elon Musk about SpaceX.
Yeah.
And somewhere in there, he has a story about how he really wanted to name it just like space. So it would just be space.com. But somebody else owned the domain name.
Yeah.
And so he was like, screw it. I'm just going to put an X behind it then. And he goes, and then it became like space exploration, but it was really just spacex.com. I was like, oh, that's it. I'll just do, instead of H-A-C-K-S, I'll just do X.com. So that's how
I love it.
Growth Hacks. And by the way, someone followed us 3 weeks ago from a digital marketing agency, and they were just created in 2020. And it's Growth Hacks, H-H-A-X. X.com.
Stop.
Somebody put another X behind it and they create their own brand, which God bless them. Good for them.
Oh my gosh. I've had that before. People have had copycats and they put the in front or something.
Yep.
It's
I got lucky on my own personal domains, right? Which is I am Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
I got totally lucky. Also, nobody was there was no I am Rob Ryan on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or the
That is lucky.
Yes.
That's super lucky. Esprit, just my name spelled normal, is a horse company.
So, could have been
I'm like, you know what's so crazy is my dad got me into technology. And I'm like, yo, why did you not buy Esprit.com? Right. I'm like, what? And I don't know, were they really expensive or something?
Yeah. No, they were they were super expensive back in the day.
Like how expensive? Okay. I feel like Esprit.com would have been like a hundo.
It might have been a couple thousand.
No.
I mean, although it might have been cheaper because it's so unique. Like, who?
That's
else
what
could
I'm saying.
Esprit? That's true. Because it's like, it's super. My greatest domain name fail story. This is a classic story. This is the short one, but it's
Uber.
A good one. No. So this is way back in the day. Remember, I'm old enough to have been around during the first internet bubble. So 98, 99, I'm starting my first company at the time. It's going to be in like software automation of sales processes.
Yeah.
This was before the world of anything called CRM or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like sitting here one day in my friend's apartment and I'm like noodling around on the web going like, okay, cool. Yeah. And I'm like looking at 20 different variations of domain and one pops up and it's just literally sale, like, and then sale.com and then sales.com. And I'm like, oh yeah, that'll be it. So I'm like, I should hold them. Like I should reserve them and pay now.
You're
and
lying.
My friend says out of the hallway, hey, come on, dude, you're already late. Like, we're going to have some beers. And I was like, all right, I'll do this later. And I go,
No. I can't even do the podcast anymore.
For the people that are only on audio with us today, Spree right now has her head in her hands in sadness for me, for the me of 23 years ago, when I did not buy sales.com that night. And then like a day and a half later, when I remembered to get back around to it, it was taken. And weirdly, it was taken by this company, which like it had the name of the guy. And I'm like, whatever, doesn't mean anything. It's just who owns it, right? And it's just some dude with some name that I didn't recognize in San Francisco. And I'm like, yeah, of course it is. Like, it's the internet boom. It's like, you know, it's 1999.
It's one of the founders
right?
of Google.
No, it was ultimately Mark Benioff, the founder of Salesforce.com.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which fast forward.
What's wild is that like you were thinking of this at the same time he was thinking of
Salesforce.
Well,
the rest of that story is a whole other story. So we're building our company, which is sales automation of a particular flavor of it.
Yeah.
And we were in Southern California at the time. And he, this is the whole history of him. He was three, four guys in his apartment in the Mission District building what eventually became Salesforce.com. And fast forward a few years and a bunch of failures and successes and all kinds of normal startup stuff. And we actually wound up getting introduced to one another by a mutual investor in both of us.
Yeah.
Who was essentially at that time, we were probably going to fail. We did.
Yeah.
But we were probably going to fail. And he probably wasn't, because we were about to hit the real collapse of the first internet, which was a terrible economic wipeout for everybody. And so, yeah, he and I wound up meeting and having a conversation that proved to me I wasn't a big fan of his then. He seems to have grown up to be a very nice man and a big philanthropist, and good for him. He's saving the world one investment at a time. But at the time, I wasn't a big fan, and he probably didn't like me either. So we didn't do anything together. Let's just say that. But man, if I would have bought sales.com.
No, but you know what? There was also, and probably still is, a huge problem with, like, speaking of hacks, is hacking and stealing domains of that kind. So you probably would have had a whole nother set of issues. But pivoting back to LA, before we jump into a dive into Los Angeles specifically, let's talk about Latinx. Let's let's not assume that everybody knows what that means, what that is. Sure. Let's start right from the beginning.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to slice it, right? So in the US, in the verbiage we use to describe things, some people, not all, by the way, like the descriptor Latinx. So it's essentially Latino or Latina, but with an X. So it's kind of gender neutral. And that has taken a life of its own. Although I will say now, April 2021, there's a big kind of pushback from the Latina and Latino communities and entrepreneurial communities here in LA and throughout the US, as I think the communities have grown and become more self-empowered, to start to say, like, that's silly. Like, that's what, you know, white folks wanted to call us. Like, we're fine with Latino or Latina. So it's been like an interesting evolution that I've watched. But in the broader context, with our business being in Latin America, or as I shorten to say LATAM, the funny thing is they don't use that descriptor. So I would always toggle back and forth. Like, I was rarely home in the last 5 years here in LA, but when I would be and I would meet someone, I would be like, oh, we work with like Latinx founders. And the persons here would be like, yeah, totally makes sense. Then I would like slip when I'd be in Guadalajara or Mexico City or Buenos Aires, and I would talk about Latinx entrepreneurial economy. And they would say to me like, what? Like that, what is that? I don't even understand that. Is that a word? Because I was making up a word. So there was this disconnect culturally between the two. But yeah, it's a huge reality, as we know, going forward in the US as a country, demographically, right? By 2044, I think it is, we will be a minority majority country, right? We will be a country that will be predominantly brown and black, which I think is fantastic. Like, we're evolving. This is great. And progressively, we'll also have more women in charge of things by then, which is awesome as well. But that reality, juxtaposed against kind of like our own economic realities we live in, and then the growth of Latin America, which is a huge region, although made up by 33 different countries, all of which who have their own little dialects and versions of Spanish and stuff like that. It's not just all what we see in the media. Like I say, everybody on the other side of the wall is the same. Like, no, not even close. That would be no more so than everybody in LA is the same as New York or Chicago or Iowa or Florida, right? It's very different as a region. But there's a growing opportunity because there's a lot of economic growth in the region. And then particular to Los Angeles, there's a unique opportunity because we are such a confluence of cultures here, right? I mean, the state is a country in and of itself in many ways, and particularly from a Spanish-speaking Latin slash Mexican influenced type of culture here. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people here, especially our very successful Mexican-American business people in LA, know that Los Angeles would be the second largest city based on Mexican population citizens in Mexico after Mexico City. Because there are about 2.6 million Mexican Americans living here in Los Angeles. And then there are another 1.5 million or so Spanish speaking people from all other Spanish cultures and Central American countries, South American countries, even Spain that make up part of our population. So it's an interesting place to be.
Yeah, let's talk about the resources here for the Latin community. What are the accelerators in place? What are the mentorship programs? What should we know about that people can access here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, sadly, the easy, short first answer is not enough, right? What are the resources? Not enough. How much support is there? Not enough. How much investment?
Who do you think does it really well? Is there a city in the world?
No. Not particularly right now, but I would say to your more specific level of the question, there are some that are doing amazing work, right? So there's an accelerator program that is in partnership with a city called Grid 110.
Mickey, love her.
Right, Mickey Reynolds and the team, Austin Clements, who's now broken off, and I'll mention him in a second because he's also doing something else that I think is really cool for the broader brown and black community. But what Mickey did in partnership with the city, to have the city even focus on that is huge. And it's really important. I have some friends that are in the food industry that are really involved with the Latino kind of collaborative associations around both the food manufacturing and food distribution and retail, as well as restaurants. And that's a huge, literally almost $1 billion industry, I think, just here in California. So there's that. But the real answer, sadly, still is there aren't enough programs. You know, it's funny, and you've been around long enough to know, right? It used to just be LA was a Hollywood industry city. And 40 years before that, it was like a defense industry and Hollywood industry. And then it was becoming a tech industry thing. And then we tried to force it by calling it Silicon Beach and making up marketing names and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And then it just kind of became
We've been in this pandemic for so long.
Right.
I forgot Silicon Beach existed.
Right? Because that was a thing.
Wow, that was a thing.
And people probably still use it.
Yeah.
But now, and that's, I always point to it, why I'm so enthusiastic about it going forward is now it's a thing that doesn't need to be poorly marketed. Now it's just a thing. Now it's just a realization that this is the global metropolis that is on par with Shanghai and Tokyo and Rome and London and Paris and Barcelona in a way that is unique, like New York, right? I mean, it's kind of the two anchor global cities of the 21st century.
What can we do to create stronger resources here?
Yeah, we've got to double down and focus on, and it's funny right here, and I say this, here's the old white guy saying this, right? Two white people on this podcast talking about what we should do, but I would rather have us talking about it than hiding from it. And frankly, again, I embrace it. All of our business is built on the future. I'm betting on this world that is going to be the more diverse world, the more.
I actually grew up with that heavy Latin culture.
See, so this is awesome.
Most people don't know that.
I love that. You understand it, right? So to me, we have to, a couple things have to happen. And the good news is they're happening. So we, the system, the infrastructure has to empower and enable and support and invest in, right? Our money, the next generation of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial economy builders. And there are some incredible ones. Mickey Reynolds at Grid 110 is a leader that has an influence that supersedes Grid 110. Austin Clements, who was one of the partners, founding partners at Grid 110, has, splintered off and started a Grid 110 program in South LA last year, 2 years ago, I think, right before the pandemic. And that program will survive. But now Austin has broken off again with some of his partners from the Slauson area. And they're building up the first, African-American focused VC fund, right? Mm. And then on our podcast, yes, we do a podcast called Mentors Today as part of Growth Hacks in our universe in LATAM. Mm-hmm. We interviewed one of the guys who you should interview and anybody in LA tech over the next 20 years needs to know, which is Taj Eldridge. And Taj has been most recently the director, one of the directors at the LA Clean Tech Incubator, which is in a world-class clean tech program.
There really LACI,
There really isn't one, in case anybody doesn't know that. There really isn't one that's equivalent to that outside of here, which is incredible. But now Taj is about to raise what will be the largest fund in the U.S. run by an African-American general partner.
That's so cool.
And Taj is going to do two things with it, not to tell his story for him, but he's going to split that money half, $125 million, to invest in underrepresented founders, women, brown, black, disadvantaged communities here in LA and in other urban areas. Then he's going to take the other $125 million and they're going to dedicate it into a fund of funds to invest in new emerging underrepresented fund managers who want to start their own funds and become their own investors in their community. So those are the super wealthy Hollywood people,
yeah, right?
The people that look or sound like me when I'm out for a walk in Hollywood or Koreatown, like with money and power in this city, they have to invest as limited partners in those people. They have to fund programs. If they're running corporations, they have to sponsor and spend their ad dollars with these types of programs.
Because
we need 10x what we have right now, if not more. So it's a huge opportunity, sadly born of a huge problem.
And where can people connect with you further?
They can find me anywhere that you can find people on social media. You used to be able to find me and you hanging out on Clubhouse.
Say your social handle, your name or email. Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter at I am Rob Ryan. So just how it sounds, I am Rob Ryan, RobRyan. You can find me. I think that's also my handle on Instagram. It's on Twitter, Facebook. You can just look for Rob Ryan and a 50-ish white guy with barely any hair and a beard. with a big smile, and that's me. And also on LinkedIn, Rob Ryan. And then my email address, you can find us on our website, on our company, which is growthhacks.com. And you can email me there. But honestly, my 27-year-old daughter says I'm the world's oldest millennial. So I should sound hip and cool. The easier way to find me is just slide into my DMs and hit me up on Twitter. So find me at I am Rob Ryan and then just DM me. And if there's any way I can help you, I'll help you.
I love it. You've mentioned so many great people, which I will include in the show notes. If there's one more person that you could think of, someone based in LA or a company based in LA that you're like, they really impressed me, who would that person or a company be?
That's an awesome question, Esprit. There are so many people I'm always impressed by here in Los Angeles, but I got to be selfish first. None more so than my daughter, Riley Ryan, who's living over in Los Feliz, working as a writer's assistant at Sony. Got her big break in Hollywood last November during the pandemic.
And wow.
By the way, also just got accepted into the USC Film School Master's in Screenwriting program.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm a proud dad of a 27 and a half year old millennial who's just killing it here in LA and the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. So thanks for asking. So I'm going to name two companies. I'm going to name two startup companies. If you're the audience and the consumer, like these are the people you should buy from. And then I'm going to talk about two influencers who've been putting in the work behind the scenes for years to build LA to what it is now. They built the foundation that we're all going to stand on for the next 20 years. So those two people are Norma Cadena and Carmen Palafox.
Those are my girls.
They're my women. They're my strong, proud Latinas. They were formerly partners at a VC firm called Mila. And they have now since split and gone in their own direction, and they're building two different funds. And Nora May's work with Supply Change Capital is going to do incredible things for the food industry in the U.S. over the next 25, 30 years. On the company side here in L.A., if you're looking to buy amazing products or buy from companies that provide products with a heart, there's Shop Latinx, which is Brittany Chavez and Miles Montes and their team, which is just an incredible startup. Amazingly good people. Some of the brightest young people we have. And then there's Azine. And I'm not even going to try and mispronounce her last name, but her company is Skin Muse. SKNMUSE. And I'm pretty sure I know both of those, either Shop Latinx or Skin Muse, can be found on Instagram.
Amazing.
They're both super millennial, Gen Z, like authentic, community-based companies with purpose, amazing beauty and other products from natural, like organically sourced. Just, it's like good for the planet, good for business, good for you as a consumer. And they're both born here in LA. And I think it's the future of commerce that's coming out of LA. So
amazing. And I love that we've had Carmen and Nora May, formerly at Mila, and then we've had Shop Latinx on the podcast.
Awesome.
So that's been really cool. So last two questions. One is a selfish question. What is your favorite tool, software, mobile app? Could be anything.
Calendly.
Oh, yeah. Scheduling.
Game changer for me.
Yeah, Candly. You want to speak? Here's the link. Like
game changer for me.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
That's how we booked this podcast, Candly.
Yes, yeah. It's, no, literally, exactly. But I mean, game changer for me. I found it a year and a half ago, and like everybody hated it, thought it was like weirdly impersonal and inhuman, and I just hated it. So much so that now the language in the invite that you get from me mocks my past hatred for it and says, hi, this is Rob. No, I'm not a bot. Yes, it's me. And yes, I used to hate this probably as much as you do, but trust me, you're going to love this. And here's why. I love Calendly. Totally. Game changer tool. Yeah.
Total game changer. And last question I love to ask is, if you had one ask of the community, something that we could all do to support and accelerate you in your success, what would that ask be? And it can't be one of these save the world answers.
No.
Know you good people. Right. You're always about saving everybody else's world. Like for you selfishly, what would
selfish,
your ask
yeah, be? Selfish ask. If everybody listening to this could introduce me to the two coolest, smartest people in their network by hitting me up in the DMs this year. If they could do that, if they could introduce me to the two coolest and smartest people in their network this year, and you can hit me up at I am Rob Ryan on Twitter, that would be incredible. Because with that, Esprit, I got you. Then we're going to change the world.
No. But like, okay. So like if I was going to make an introduction, wait, yeah. There's something missing. Like, where's the mutually beneficial energy? Like why do these people within my network want to talk to you? Like, what is that thing?
Because I am, you know, here's the
To empower me to create the intro, right?
And also here's the selfish self-promotion. Like, this will sound cocky. Take it how you will, audience. Like, I could not be longer LA. I could not be more hashtag long LA and long California than I am. There may be others, and I know some of them in our community, and especially in our tech community, and now in our new VC community that's growing up so fast, that are super long LA, but they are no more long LA than I am. So yeah. I am at least as long LA, and I'm 52 years old, and I plan on busting my ass and doing this work for the next 30 years. I'm giving it till 82, and then I'm going to take a break. So I've got 30 years. That's 30 summers, 30 winters, 30 falls. We've got to build this into living up to its potential.
Totally.
LA has the potential from a technology, innovation, creativity, new business creation standpoint to be the leading city in the planet. And I am going to put myself out in front of that every chance I get. And so these people, the payoff for them will be, if you introduce me to the two smartest and coolest people in your network, I'm going to suck them into this mission of ours.
Totally.
I'm going to expose them to my vision and my energy. And then we're going to find a place for them where they want to play in this sandbox, where to work for them and their business interests and their future growth. And then together we actually make your dream of We Are LA Tech, from when it was probably just you and like two friends in the valley somewhere, like we turn that into what this should be, which is
me
the world.
Two friends, more like me working my ass off.
Okay, it was just you in the valley by yourself. Okay, fair enough. But no, I mean, that's it. So the payoff for people is connect them in through me and then let them feed off of me.
Yeah.
Because it's not just me. It's me as a proxy for everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
I love that.
I am all in on LA.
And for those of you who don't know the hashtag Long LA, Long LA, as far as I know, was kind of developed by investors as kind of shouting their commitment to the city of Los Angeles. Do you have the same backstory? It's like an investor-created hashtag.
When I came back pre-pandemic, which again was the first time I had really spent any substantial time here in like 5 years.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the handles on the you know, tweets and stuff of a few people, Mark Suster. And even Nora May threw it up a couple of times. And
investors.
I was like, okay, I respect these people. What are they saying by that? And then I kind of started to meet people. And Eric, now he's with the Alliance for SoCal Innovation, used to be with the mayor's office. Eric is like my Sherpa of Los Angeles in the last 2 years. And Eric was using it. And I'm like, okay, three people that I super respect are talking about, they're telling the world that we're long about LA. We believe in Los Angeles, not just
we're all in.
Not like, you know, we're in San Francisco and OTECs are too high, so we're all going to, you know, decamp to Miami, which is the cool thing to do now. No, that's bullshit. Like, we're all in on LA because this is where we want to build families. This is where we want to build businesses because we love the climate. We love our neighbors. We love the tacos and the beach.
And we love skateboarding.
Yes, you are the official.
I have like nine skateboard decks.
You go, action sports.
Icon. I don't surf. I've been surfing, but I mean.
Oh, you could be a surfer. You could do it. If you could skateboard, you could surf.
I love skating. Thank you so much, Rob, for hanging out with the We Are LA Tech podcast. If you want to connect and collaborate with more incredible people in the Los Angeles tech community, go to wearelatech.com/community. That's wearelatech.com/community. That will take you straight to the Facebook group. Say hello on social at We Are LA Tech on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Peace out. I'm long esprit. Hi, this is Rob Ryan, founder of Growth Hacks, building bridges between Latin America and Los Angeles, coming to you live from Koreatown, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
The We Are LA Tech podcast is hosted and produced by me, Esprit DeVora.
With help from Janice Geronimo.
Edited by Corey Jennings.
Production and voiceover by Adam Carroll.
Community Spotlight coordination by Anna Friberg.
Music from Jay Huffman Live and Epidemic Sound. The We Are LA Tech podcast is a wearetech.fm production.